Welcome to the AI in Action podcast, the show where we break down the hype and highlight the practical benefits of data science, machine learning, and artificial intelligence on our everyday lives. To subscribe to the podcast, check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, and any Android podcast of choice. Hello, welcome to the show. My guest today is Deirdre Lee. Deirdre is the founder and CEO of Derelinx. For those who don't know, Derelinx provides high-quality linked and open data solutions, which paves the way for evidence-based decision-making, cost savings through greater organizational efficiencies, and improved use of business intelligence. In the episode, Deirdre is going to share with us what it was that inspired her to set up Derelinx and how to actually go about helping organizations embrace open data policies. She'll later explain the benefits that their open data policies have brought to businesses, both nationally and internationally, as well as speaking about the great work they do with smart cities. Deirdre will later discuss the change in attitude she's seen towards the awareness and adoption of data science, the advice she'd offer to businesses who are looking to embrace data, and she'll give her thoughts on where she believes this is all heading in the next few years. Hope you enjoy listening to the show today. Let's get straight into it. Deirdre, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So can you tell me a little bit about your background and also what inspired you to set up Derelinx?
Sure. So my background is in IT, so I've been working in the area of IT and data science for all my career, and I started off in the insight of data analytics in NUI Galway. So there I was working in the digital government group. So we were looking at different semantic web and linked data technologies and how that could be applied in the public sector for public service provision, e-participation, and then increasingly around the area of open data. So around kind of 2010, we saw open data, I guess, be more recognized and adopted. I mean, there were kind of precursors around public sector information and FOI and so on, but really this idea of making data available for anyone to access and be able to do it at what they want. So we worked on a number of kind of research projects around that, and I guess what we noticed was that it was just such a huge untapped resource within public bodies that as part of their kind of day-to-day work, providing public services, they were kind of collecting so much data, but then it wasn't being reused for other purposes as well, both internally in the organization, but also externally for the general public, organizations, civil society organizations, and so on. So when looking at the different research projects we were working on, there was definitely an area or a need for sustainable solutions around that. So really that's where the idea of Derelinx came from.
That's brilliant. And can you tell me a little bit about the work you do at Derelinx and how you help organizations embrace open data and policies?
So in Derelinx, we have developed a data sharing platform, Datador, and it's based on the CCAN open source technology. And it helps organizations with their information. So it helps people to be able to discover, understand, and access data. And this, of course, then in turn facilitates better and more evidence-based decision-making, rich business intelligence, advanced innovation, all of these good things. But really underlying what's kind of needed there is access to the information itself.
And can you give me one or two examples of an organization that Derelinx has worked with and some of the benefits of embracing open data has brought to business and the public sector?
Yeah, so in Derelinx, we work with a number of public sector bodies and also not-for-profit and private organizations, both nationally here in Ireland and then internationally as well. So at a national level, we work with the National Open Data Initiative and the open data portal data.gov.ie. So that's managed and coordinated by the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. So that was launched in 2014 and kind of revamped in different versions over the years. But we've actually recently been ranked as number one across Europe. So the Irish Open Data Initiative is currently top for open data across 32 European member states in terms of impact, maturity, readiness. So that was kind of a great achievement. And really what I guess that kind of signifies is not only the a portal is in place, but very much kind of the ecosystem around that, so that there is new data being published all the time, the number of different organizations that are contributing to it. So we currently have over 6,700, I think, data sets from 100 different public bodies, but also kind of the actual impact that that's having, both for public bodies themselves, because of course open data is open for anyone to use, and we see one of the greatest reusers of open data is public bodies themselves, but then also kind of different companies and businesses and from just all across, researchers and so on.
Yeah.
And another area that we work a lot with is in the area of smart cities. So I think this is a really kind of tangible example of kind of how open data can be practically used as well. So I know a lot of your listeners, Mark, are working in data science and just want to get their hands on as much data as possible. And once they have it, then they can do kind of great things with it around kind of data analytics, machine learning, artificial intelligence. But really the problem can be getting that data in the first place and getting it in a way that it's easy to use, that it's up to date, that it's clean, high quality, all of this. So that's really kind of where the open data initiatives come into play. So there are a number of kind of cities in Ireland now that are kind of working together on smart cities, from Dublin, Cork, Belfast, Waterford, Galway, and so on. So here in Dublin, the Smart Dublin initiative is really embracing open data because they see it as a fundamental part of all of the different projects that they're rolling out. So when they're focusing in on the themes like around the smart Docklands, where they want energy efficient buildings, they want smart solutions to the kind of focus of kind of the business area that's there, Smart Sandyford, which has just been launched as well. So again, they're looking at how can they improve an area like that that has kind of a high kind of a lot of IT companies kind of working there, but also kind of a growing residential population with kind of lack of housing a problem. So all of this data is very important. So the areas that kind of Smart Dublin are focusing on for open data are then aligned with their kind of smart city objectives as well, around energy, around waste, around water, around transport. So for example, we had an open data impact series event, which we run periodically as well, just a little plug in there, keep an eye out. But the last one we focused on transport and it was really good. We had about 70 people, but both from the data publisher side and also the data users. So there was representatives from Smart Dublin, from Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, from the National Transport Authority, from Transport Infrastructure Ireland, all talking about the data that's already available, the data that could be available, and the challenges that they face as well, but also loads of examples of different organisations and companies that are using the data, from small startups like the SBIR companies, the Small Business Innovation Research companies, like Liberty Bell and Bytelook, and also kind of companies like Energy Elevent, City Swifter, City Hook, and then like bigger companies as well, because like they're all looking for information to, not to just build one app and push it out there, but to kind of inform what they're doing internally as well. So when you want to build new kind of data models, artificial intelligence, you want to have that context level of, okay, so I know I have my internal data, but I want to build on then the, maybe like the demographics or the kind of the transport infrastructure that's there. Like City Swifter, they work on route optimization. So they need kind of historical information about what are the timetables, what are the journey times, what's the volume, what's the footfall, what's the routes, so that they can build on their models and then kind of plan into the future as well, you know, and do predictive analytics.
Yeah, that's brilliant. it's great to see such a holistic approach, and you can really see that with the smart city and how they actually approach
Absolutely,
that as
yeah.
well, which is great to see in Ireland actually taking a lead. That was a really big milestone to do, which is brilliant. So having set up Derelinx in 2014, I'm sure you've seen interest in data just grow and grow. What are some of the changes in attitude towards data you've noticed over the past few years?
I was thinking about this, maybe on two sides. One is just awareness in general, and that's both from the public bodies who are collecting and potentially publishing the information, but also kind of from people who want to use it as well. And then of course the adoption. So on the awareness piece, I think kind of when we started talking about open data and at the beginning of Derelinx, we had a lot of conversations about what is open data and what's its benefits and why, you know, why should I be doing it? Whereas now most of the conversations that we have are around, you know, they already know what open data is, they kind of buy into it because it is government policy as well to publish data by default. So it's more around, well, how can we do it and how can we embed this so that it's sustainable and isn't too much of an overhead, and how can we ensure that the data is of high quality, because there's a danger that you could maybe kind of publish a static data set once and then that's it and it's forgotten about and it quickly goes out of date, and we don't want that. So really looking at how to automate processes, maybe build APIs and things like that. Because, so for example, one of the most popular open data sets currently in Ireland is the real-time passenger information, which has all of the real-time information about the public transport, buses, trams and so on, when they're arriving at bus stops, the same information you see on the displays at the different bus stops. So all of that is accessible via this API. So it gets about 125 million requests every year, and that's increasing. So the National Transport Authority are then looking at, well, how can we improve this API? Maybe can we provide more information and engaging with the community as well to try and improve that? And then the other thing is, of course, adoption. So like data is becoming more part of kind of day-to-day life. And I think it's something that not only specialists or data scientists kind of think about and are involved in and love, but that the wider general public kind of know it as well. And of course, then it relates to GDPR and data protection, and I think on overall awareness of data. Like people often ask me, is it a danger for open data, or is it something that kind of will prevent it being published? And I guess it could be, but personally, I hope, and maybe because I'm an optimist, I hope that it will just provide more awareness, that people will be more thinking around kind of data governance and how data should be managed in appropriate ways that do comply with data protection regulation and protect the citizens' right to privacy as well.
Yeah. Have you noticed over the last 2 to 3 years that things have just got so much quicker than when you started in 2014? Or was it kind of a gradual adoption where people were kind of learning more about it? Or because I always see it as last 18 months, it's just been like, boom, it's kind of exploded, but you've been pretty closer to the...
Yeah, I suppose it goes back kind of to like even 2008, 2010 when we were started. Like definitely back then it was more talking about general principles, and like we have the Open Data Technical Framework, which is great. So it says, you know, that data should be published in at least 3-star format and this kind of 5-star rating, though, that it has to be published with an open license in open machine readable formats like JSON, CSV and so on. Whereas now, yeah, I mean, it's more just looking at quality and high value data sets as well, you know, so which is really good. And I think a lot of the drivers around that as well has been the growth of parallel kind of domains and industries like artificial intelligence, like Internet of Things, like smart cities, like cybersecurity. All of these things have grown a lot in the last couple of years. So the need and the demand for data is growing. So it, I guess it's naturally that it corresponds.
And for many companies who are noticing the need to embrace data but don't know where to start, what advice would you offer them?
I think I'd advise maybe not to start with the data per se, but to start with the business need, you know? I mean, again, if you're a publisher or if you're a user, to really focus on what your problem is, like what are you trying to fix? What is the area that you need more insight into? I mean, if you're like going back to the transport domain, I mean, if you want to, there's insufficient transport links, and the problems might be there is crowding on certain stops, routes take too long, there's traffic jams, whatever. So they're your problems. So that's kind of where you start with. And then you look at, well, okay, well, what data sources are around that could help me solve this problem? And then you're kind of going down the path of the data, similar as you would like look at other resources. So are there other infrastructure elements that could help me? Are there people that I need? Is there a certain expertise? So data is a resource in that way. So I think that would be kind of the starting point. Like always start with actual your business need, and then that will follow you to the data. And then of course you're going to come up with, well, how do I get this data and where is it and is it good quality and whatever. But that will come after.
Yeah, I've seen some companies who we need to introduce X, Y, and Z, and then suddenly they have it sold, and then suddenly they have to figure out how they need to get the data, which can take maybe 2 years to actually fix it, get it fit for a purpose, and actually go on the journey of then making proper judgment on that data.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I saw a quote recently that said, data scientist is like the sexiest job in the world, and then they show all the data that you actually have to go through and clean up, but 80% of that as well. Yeah, it kind of put things into perspective.
But with that kind of point then, it does highlight that. So I mean, in parallel, this whole area of kind of embedding good data management and good data governance in an organization is important as well. So it's not just, so you have a business need, you need So a data science wants data set X to solve it, and then it's trying to find that. Whereas if it's more kind of embedded in the actual organization, that okay, that data is, we understand what information is collected in the organization, that we know how it's managed, who's responsible for it, who can access it, can it be shared, and so on. So that's what we're looking at as well with different organizations. We're looking at very much the data governance piece and the kind of overall what we call kind of data audits. So kind of helping organizations understand what data sets that they own and they manage, because a lot of the time they're not aware, they don't have a full picture across an organization of the different data that's there. So once that's more embedded in practice, then it should be kind of easier to identify the data sources that are needed, not have duplicates of data, and things like that.
How big do you think data science can go? Where do you predict this heading in the next 5 to 10 years? Pretty difficult question.
Yeah. Well, God, as you said, if the last 18 months or 2 years is anything to go by, I mean, it's just going to continue to grow exponentially. Like, data will always be a resource, you know, kind of not the center of attention or the main thing. But as a resource, I think its importance is going to grow very much as well. And also to be able to extract the insights from it, or to be able to get the valuable information that you need, because there's so much data being collected and so on, to really kind of pinpoint or narrow down the information that's useful for you. I mean, that's a whole other challenge as well. And I think that's what a lot of organizations are facing now. And even when we talk about open data and having lots of information from different sources that can add context and different views and coming in from different areas, be it the geospatial element, the statistical, the from different domains, which is great. But if organizations are struggling even with their own data that they manage, they can't even start to think about kind of layering on other data sets as well. So I think that's something that will have to be kind of honed in a little bit as well. I mean, from this wide variety of data, how can we actually kind of see what's the most relevant or most use for a particular problem as well?
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Cheers, Mark.
That's all for this episode of AI in Action. Hope you really enjoyed it. If you'd like to stay updated with all the latest podcasts, then please head over to the website aiinaction.ie and subscribe to the newsletter to get the podcast delivered straight to your inbox. Finally, I'd like to take the time to let you know about the AI Awards. We're now looking for applications from academia and industry professionals to apply. Set up in 2018, the AI Awards are a not-for-profit business, community-led initiative that was set up to celebrate the best in artificial intelligence and data science in Ireland. Our focus is to support the AI community by recognising the hard work and dedication of those working in the field of AI, data science and machine learning. We see this as a fantastic opportunity to showcase your work and skills to the AI community on the island of Ireland, and also help raise the profile of Ireland as a destination for AI investment. Applications take only a couple of minutes, so go ahead, apply today at www.aiawards.ie. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you again next week.